The nerds are going to save us all.
No, Nicole will.
Totally. Nicole the nerd.
Maybe John, but Nicole's awesome.
Totally. Some of these nerds are not awesome.
No, like, whatever. Because they're troll. Whatever. We'll get to it. Oh, this is horrifying.
I know.
Are you horrified?
This is one of the worst we've done. Hi, Julian Bensavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Fam, are you so excited about our YouTube content? We're doing full episodes on YouTube.
We are.
So the way this is working, you just go to our YouTube channel. It's True Crime Obsessed on YouTube. The most recent episodes are there as videos. Our entire back catalog has been uploaded as audio videos, kind of. But we're going to do videos going forward.
And Aaron, it's like us on video.
It's not us just on video. Aaron's working really hard making these videos for us. And Tom, you're going to see a brand new studio on the videos in a couple of weeks. Yep. We are redoing this entire setup to make it look cool for YouTube so the kids will want to watch.
There's a hot pink chair involved, just saying.
So yeah, just find us on YouTube. Join us on Patreon. Right now, in real life, we're covering Gabby Petito. Who knows where we'll be by the time this comes out.
Yeah, we're doing Scamanda. We're doing Fox Hollow. We're doing Look Into My Eyes. We're doing Lady of the Dunes. Like, Patreon is out of control.
I mean, and the Gabby Petito one in particular is just really, really good.
Yeah, it's very victim-focused. Her family is there and involved. Yeah. And her friends, and so, yeah.
Yeah, so just follow the link in the show notes or just go to patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, girl?
All right, so this is called Perfect World, A Deadly Game. It's on Peacock. It's like 2 45-minute episodes, so we're doing it as if it's one documentary.
Yes.
I don't know why they split it up into two. It was totally unnecessary.
It's
one documentary.
It's a good documentary. Right, it could have been just like a 90-minute documentary.
Like, Peacock, what are you doing?
I know.
I have a friend. He told me that he killed his family, and he even sent me pictures.
Do you know what city he lives in?
No.
Perfect World is an international multiplayer online game.
It's quite easy to hide behind a keyboard.
This was sometimes very toxic.
Men has had a history of pulling pranks.
His jokes were getting darker and darker.
He was pretty much giving us, like, the murders in real time.
I just wanted to try and save some of his family.
We didn't know where he lived. We were all in investigative mode.
We didn't have much time.
We get his location, someone could call the police.
We need to stop him from doing this.
So we start in North Carolina. We're meeting Nicole. We love Nicole. She's 25 years old. She's a criminal justice student. That's kind of important to know.
Yeah, she's a self-described introvert. She kind of just says, like, I have a pretty simple life. Her words, she says, I stay at home, I apply for jobs, I play my games, I eat, I sleep. And she wants to be clear, though. She says, I'm not antisocial, but she comes out of her shell on her terms, and I honestly fucking love that for her.
I love that for her, too. And we learned that she started online gaming when she was 13 because she was, like, an introvert at school, and she said people weren't really nice to her. And I'm like, I just want to go back again to say, parents, we got to teach our kids to be nice.
I know, people are awful. Because she says everybody at school didn't like me. And like, Nicole, come on. And I'm so sorry.
She's amazing. She's so awesome. She helped solve a murder here. She's a good person. She's like studying criminal justice. Teach your kids to be nice.
Yeah.
I found out the other day that at after school soccer, Daisy was the only one that was allowed to play one day because she was the only one that hadn't been trying to talk over the coach.
What is going on with everybody?
No, but my point is, Daisy is really sweet. She said one day all the kids were being so mean to the coach that she cried.
Me, like, we're bullying the teachers now?
I know. But my kid isn't, is all I'm saying.
Well, that one day she wasn't. One day you're going to get a letter. It's all going to happen. I mean, come on. I don't trust anybody or anything anymore. But Nicole says, at least online, even if people were mean to me, they respected me for being a good player. And we will learn later that Nicole had to pretend that she was male identifying, as she says, to actually maybe get some kind of respect. Like, she didn't want anyone to know she was a girl.
No, like playing this online game, because she was saying,
I really feel with Perfect World, it was my community. I got really hooked. I would start playing the second that I got out of school and finished my homework, and probably wouldn't stop playing until about midnight. Every day.
She'd come home, do her homework first.
Yeah.
And then play until midnight.
Because it's a place for her not to just, like, disappear into the game. And this game that she's saying, it's a multiplayer online game centered around Chinese mythology. But, like, you can fly and you can fight
in
people.
The air. But you can fight in the air. You can look how you want. You can create your own persona. And then you're working together with people to get through the game and get, like, all these rewards. I can totally see how you would get sucked into this.
Especially if you don't have a big social life at school. If you feel like the people that, like, are in your real life don't really see you. This is the place where you can go and be whoever you want.
And you can have a community and you can feel cool because you, like, helped get, someone says, like, or shiny new gear. Like, you helped the team get this thing. I totally get it. She also says it's easily accessible. It's international. So you're also, like, communicating and meeting people all over the world. So, Nicole, I gotcha.
I like it. Were you ever a gamer?
I was a gamer. Not these online role-playing games, but I, like, grew up with Nintendo and Sega and, like, Mario Kart. And so I love gaming. I think it's bullshit that at the end they're going to try to make it be like, oh, well, he gamed and so he killed. Like, we're not going to do that with the gamers.
No.
I'm also a voice in Grand Theft Auto 4.
That's right. Give us the voice again.
Well, it's like, hey, you dick. Because they stole my... I had to sort of do voices because, like, horrible things happen to women in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
So I did that, but it was Trendy Manhattanite was my voice.
Oh, can we hear just one more thing?
There was one other one that was like, hey! Like, a lot of just exclaiming.
Because my
car was stolen, or I was robbed, or I was assaulted in some way.
Do you think that the reason there's more kids playing games all day long now is because it is community-based and it's international, whereas, like, the Sega, the Nintendo was like, you're just playing by yourself?
That's the thing. So I don't have a lot of, I don't have any experience with these kinds of games, but I support gaming. I support girls in gaming, for sure. But this is not really my world, no pun intended.
Yeah, mine was just drama club or bust.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God. I loved playing video games as a kid. I loved
But if
them.
You're doing that, you can't just stare at Christian Polino across the stage
but
all night.
But you can, like,
you know,
listen to the Newsy soundtrack. Like,
I guess that's true.
I was listening to, like, the Beastie Boys and, like, show tunes. Like, I would have...
So we were both having the same gay experience, from different perspectives.
Yeah, or, like, if I was listening to the music, because the Mario music is great, Super Mario. I thought you were doing Tetris for a second. I was like, that's different. Don't mess with me. But my dad would say that he would hear me from the other room, like, whenever I would die as Mario. I'd go like, oh, man. And he was like, that's like a very visceral memory that he has.
I can hear Daisy making an exact same sound.
And sometimes I'll say it now, and Mike's like, there she is, playing Super Mario.
We go to Egypt, we meet John, he's a medical student. He started playing when he was 12 for a year, and then he stopped. But then he learned you can use a private server. So apparently, explain this to me.
If the game is unable or unwilling to provide whatever people want from it, people will make private servers to modify the game.
They just do it themselves. So it's called, like, modding or modding a game.
How do you get into the code of the game, whatever any of those words mean?
So they modify the game on these private servers, and so then it becomes a modified version that some of these people that we're going to meet are the developers of that. So it's kind of like you're just taking it and making it your own, and then it's totally separate because we get a huge on-screen text of, like, anything about the modded version of Perfect World has nothing to do. It says they do not represent and are entirely unrelated to Perfect World Games LLC or whatever. So it's totally different. It's people being like, I wish I could fly this kind of way.
Uh-huh.
I can't do it in the game, so I'm going to modify it.
And you can just figure out how to modify it to make it wait. My God, people are so smart.
Yeah, there used to be a way to do it. I think if you had, like, an Xbox, you could do... I guess playing Halo is the closest thing I would get to, like, working it. I know.
What is she doing?
Halo girly from back in the day. But that was the only
I think we lost her.
The only thing I had where I was, like, playing with a group of people and Mario Kart and Mario Party. Okay.
She's a gamer girl.
I know people take it very seriously, so I'm not trying to, like...
I'm just saying, for those of you who want to know, this is what Christian Polino looks like.
Great. I think there used to be a way where you can, like, mod certain other consoles to be able to play, like, old Nintendo games.
Yes.
Like, you could do that, too. There's a whole world.
We're still doing this. Okay.
Yeah, we're still doing it. There's a whole world. It's not perfect. So that's what happened with Perfect World. The modified version was called Void, and it was intended for player versus player combat, which was not possible in the original game.
I said, I have all these notes, and then the community completely makes up the story, ... I am barely following this.
I thought your notes were going to be like, Jillian will take care of it. Jillian will translate,
like, I don't,
for all of
really,
it.
I don't, if it's not Atari, if we're not playing Pitfall on Atari.
You lost me. I know what Atari is, but that wasn't my console.
No, it was before your time.
Yeah. So in Void, which is like the modded version of Perfect World, it was you versus other people. So there's no focus on the story. There's no rewards.
Yeah.
And Nicole says the community completely makes up that server. So it's like they're just... It's a free-for-all.
You know what I will never understand is this, like, Roblox thing where you're inventing the world as you go. The kids are obsessed with the Roblox.
Oh, sure.
And there's another one. I can't think of what it's called. But I'm like, I don't understand these. Like, where you're just like, the world doesn't exist and you're making it and that is fun somehow. And I'm not knocking it. I get that it is fun.
Yeah. I like a game where I can, like, choose to be Yoshi. Do you know what I mean? I want to...
Daisy's literally just walking around her world inventing animals. So it's like cows and ducks and dogs. Like, it's just all she's doing is inventing animals and then feeding them.
Great.
I hope this is how this stays.
I hope so too. So we meet Maroon. He lives in Israel and he's one of the creators of this modded version of the game, Perfect World Void. He's a software student.
But the problem with this version...
The main rule in Void was there are no rules. That's what made it unique. But it allows a bit more toxicity to flow in. Just fighting with people in chat. It's an online thing where you can just say whatever you want. Like, most of them enjoyed toxicity to some degree.
To quote your queen, this is why they can't have nice things.
No, they can't have nice things.
No.
But, you know, the main rule here is that there are no rules. Like, okay.
Right, we get it. We totally get it.
You know, Fight Club is making fun of toxic masculinity, right? Do you guys get that yet?
I know.
Have you gotten it yet? So is Wolf of Wall Street.
Every now and then you say it, but they don't get it.
You're not supposed to aspire to be that. They're making fun of you.
Exactly.
Okay?
Totally.
They're making fun of you. Because you're losers.
But not the gamers. The gamers aren't losers. It's the trolls are the losers.
The toxic males, the guys who are just like, I want to make my own Fight Club. Like, you're a loser.
Right,
did you not get that from the movie? It's like 3 hours long. You didn't get that?
The Fight Club episode of 30 Rock is one of the best, I'm just saying. It's a bunch of Broadway actors. It's like Carrie Butler.
Oh, great.
And Mary Catherine Garrison. And I can almost name them all. Julia. I can't think of the right. But it's a bunch of Broadway actresses in
the
Fight
Club. It's like
the
Page program, right? It's
totally.
The Pages. I vaguely remember that.
It's so good.
But anyway, because there are no rules, now, like, all the toxicity can just flow in. And Maroon admits this. He's like, there are tons of fighting, racism, sexism, homophobia, all the trolls.
We learn. And, like, this is the part that I really will never understand. It is the annoying the other players that is the fun thing for the trolls. They're not there to win. They're not there to, like, do good at the game. They're there just to annoy other people. I will never understand that.
Yeah, they keep using the word annoy, but I'm like, you're harassing people and being horrible. So, like, a lot of people enjoy the toxicity and thrived on it. And one of those people is here with us today. His name is Adrian. I hate him. He's a computer analyst in Romania.
He's a certified troll. He really says some dark shit in this.
I just joined to f around and annoy other players. It's actually quite easier to hide behind the keyboard and just annoy someone that doesn't know who you are or where you are from.
I joined around to fuck around and annoy other players, and I'm like, cool.
Right.
As John Oliver would say, cool.
Adrian doesn't strike me as a person who has a lot of friends. You know what I mean?
Adrian says what we already know about trolls. He literally is like, it's very easy to be a nightmare when you're hiding behind a keyboard and no one knows who you are or where you are. And I mean, he says as much.
The trolling only works if you find somebody who takes it seriously. So you got the me in there who's just trying to build the world and fight in the air and just like trying to play the game. And then Adrian's in my ear just annoying me and I would take the troll bait every single time.
Right. This is why people literally say don't feed the trolls.
Exactly.
Like all they want is a response. Don't give it to them. Don't give it to them.
Lessons we learn the hard way.
Stay strong in your silence. Yeah. I promise you, it will get you through whatever you're going through. I assure you.
Yep.
But also, this bullshit, like, kills the vibe. Like, people are trying to play this game and, like, chat and, like, make friends and fly around. And then you have these assholes harassing you. And it's more than annoying.
Yeah.
It's like they're being mean and racist and sexist and homophobic and transphobic and every horrible thing you can be just to get a rise out of
you. And all these mods are like, we just kind of, like, they say in the same breath, like, there are no rules. You can say whatever you want. But if you're racist, then we're going to kick you out.
Or not. All these trolls are thriving in this environment. Because people are just saying, like, people love to be bold online. And sometimes that can be freeing. Because Nicole says, like, she presents as a man online. Her screen name is masculine. Her character is masculine. When she speaks, they think they're a little boy.
Yeah.
So she's saying, like, being a girl in gaming is hard, which sucks because girls in gaming are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But she's saying that, like, it can be freeing, but she sort of has to protect herself because of this toxic environment that she's in. So Adrian and Alex troll together all the time. They fucking loved it. But the biggest troll of all was Menhaz.
He tried to be the funny guy in most situations. As we play together, you have to understand his jokes were getting darker and darker over the time. once the administrator Austin bans Menhouse for racist jokes.
Like, you keep saying that word funny, and you don't know what the word means.
No, and then we learn that he's being racist. And so now we meet Austin from Dallas, Texas.
I get it. Oh, is he from Dallas?
Oh, I only said it was Dallas because, like, I recognized that highway arch.
Oh, okay, okay.
And so I don't know if he's Austin from Austin or if he's Austin from Dallas, but it's Austin from Texas is here.
Yeah.
And they were both administrators for that Void, the subserver or whatever of this game.
He was a developer for the modified game.
And he's also friends with Menhaz. So what would happen is Menhaz would say something horribly racist. They'd kick him out forever. He'd get banned. And then Menhaz would reach out to him on Discord, would reach out to Austin and be like, girl, let me back in. This is all I have. Please, please, please. And Austin would just let him back in.
So it's not a ban?
To which I say, then what are the rules for?
Yeah, there are no... Because it's like... Again, it's just a bunch of people who want this toxic environment, and they're right. going to do anything they can to keep it toxic. They yeah. want it this way.
Right.
They kind of like that it's the dark horse of the air. You know what I mean? They right. like that part.
But then
of
they're
it.
All shocked when this asshole turns out to be a murderer can't stop. You know what I mean?
Right. And Austin is like, yeah, I showed favoritism. Like, he would be begging me to come back, and I would allow it. And I'm like, right, but he's being racist, and he's harassing people, and he's bullying people, and he's ruining everyone's good time.
Right.
Like, why are we
they
letting
just
the
want
trolls...
to fight in the air and
like,
they keep
on. Like, and get like shiny new gear for your team. That's fucking rad. Like,
who
I don't...
was the person who was like, let's just create a game where like you're gonna win bows and arrows
yeah.
and shields and people are gonna fucking love it. And yeah. that person, that dork was right.
Right.
You
like,
know what
totally.
I mean?
Totally. Like yeah. I am definitely, I think I've said this before. I'm like, if I had to pick like two roads diverged in a wood yeah. and it was like the sci-fi nerd, like the Star Trek nerd or the Lord of the Rings nerd, I'm going Lord of the Rings every time.
No question.
Like, so that is definitely my, I'm like, you can get like bows and arrows and like you could be an elf like in the woods and hang out with the ants and stuff
totally,
and like those
yeah.
awesome trees. But Nicole says, yeah, all right, shut up, Austin.
He only got the temporary ban because he was a friend. I mean, some of the shit that he was saying would get other people permanently banned. And Menhaz came back in the game, just acted normal, like nothing had really happened. You know, he's just hanging out with people and then just chatting away. And then that changed on July 27th.
Everything he said was, quote, obscenely fucking racist.
So we jump to July 27th, 2019. All of the gamers are online. They're all playing with Menhaz. This is where we learn about Discord, right? Now, we've got a Discord for TCO. We promise it's safe and fun and highly yeah. moderated, yeah. and nobody says anything mean. If they do, they get kicked out forever.
I'm in it all the time.
Austin so is fun. Not a moderator of our Discord.
And never will be.
Never will be. But we learn that the Discord is different from the in-game chat. It's not moderated at all.
It's a separate app entirely.
So a lot of people are playing the game, but then they're in the Discord talking about the gameplay that they're currently doing.
Right.
Did I explain that right?
You nailed it.
Okay, great.
Yeah, just to sort
I feel
of
like I'm trying to explain basketball.
A
you know what
bit.
I mean?
Oh, God. Well, let's not.
Like tennis, even.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Just so like a visual for Discord, like each server, like TCO, there's a TCO server, and
yes.
that's what you join. You should totally join it, by the way. We have a lot of fun.
It's really good.
But then each server essentially has a bunch of chat rooms. So in TCO, for example, we have like general, true crime, animals and family,
yeah.
memes,
episode.
Book club, episode discussion, Patreon episode discussion. Yeah. So that's what this is. Like, it would be the perfect world Void server, and
yes.
then a whole bunch of different chat rooms within. And that's it, because like you can be on Discord wherever you are in the world. It's an easier way to chat.
Yeah. You can also send images. That's an important thing to know.
Yes.
So Menhaz is in the Discord server saying, today is the day I'm going to kill my parents and go to jail. And then he posts an extremely graphic photo of a dead body. And he says, this is my mom.
Hey, Peacock,
yeah.
This image was not censored enough.
No.
And how dare you? And you showed Ugh. Way too many images
yeah.
way too often in this documentary.
It really is so... I know documentarians listening to this, and I know some of you do, more is not better in this context.
Yeah.
More is, in fact, often bad.
And there was no warning about it.
No.
And don't give me the whole, like, well, you're watching a true crime documentary. I still deserve to know
yes.
if I'm going to be seeing these horrifying images, which you should not have publicized.
It's disgusting. And, like, it really out of respect to the victims, you know?
Of course.
Because all they do is blur her face, but you can see that she is laying in a pool of blood on the floor. And you can see everything but her eyes, nose, and
yeah.
mouth.
Very much not okay, Peacock.
Not
better.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So everyone is obviously freaking out because Menhaz is the biggest troll in the group. He's a fucking terrible person. But they're thinking like...
For a second, I thought, okay, it may be real, but I don't know. In my head, I still had to remember that was Perfect World and everyone was just making stuff up.
this is a prank, right? Like, this can't be real.
No, this is what we mean by this documentary could have been one 90-minute documentary, because we get 15 minutes of a round robin of every person saying the same thing. Is it a prank? Is it a hoax?
I had to go to bed early because I had work the next day, so I just stopped caring about it. But here's my thing. Even if it was, quote, a prank, it's still a picture of a dead body, and it's not funny.
No.
And it's fucked up.
And but this is the kind of thing that I feel like we've been desensitized to come to expect in not our Discord, but in some Discord servers, this is the norm.
Well, because there was no regulation.
Right.
And the guy who was regulating it kept letting the awful, awful troll back in after a week.
Because in our Discord, we've got Sasha and a couple of other awesome moderators, but like Discord did not offer us a moderator.
Of
like,
course
if,
not.
If ours was unmoderated, you could post anything you want.
Right. So that's not, like, come on now.
Right.
So Austin, please.
But also Discord, like just creating this server where people can just go in there and be awful. I mean, like terrible things happen on Discord.
It's horrible. Terrible things happen on the internet.
Completely.
So an hour after the photo was posted, Alex the troll says to Menhaz, hey, I gotta hand it to you. You're gonna be a legend with this prank. What
oh
a prank,
God.
Right?
Yeah.
And Menhaz is like, yeah, I know. That's why I did it. So Alex the troll takes this as confirmation that it's not real.
Right.
Because Menhaz didn't correct him. And now I can see how like maybe that could be interpreted as Menhaz like confirming this is a prank. It's still disgusting.
Well, because
it's not a funny prank. You guys don't understand what the words annoying or funny are.
Right.
Like, what are you saying?
Because he immediately posts a picture of another body and says this one is his grandmother.
And it's the same carpet and it looks like the same house.
Right. And nobody knows what to believe. Right. And like, but they're saying if these pictures are legit, he's detailing these murders in real time.
Right. And now Adrian the troll is not bothered.
I've seen worse things like decapitations, stuff like that. So just seeing a body with a cut on the neck, it was like, yeah, okay, it's just another dead body.
Yeah, to him, it's just another dead body. To which I say, Adrian's over. I'm not mentioning him for the rest of the documentary.
Totally.
He offers nothing.
No.
Your time is done.
He says something even worse than that later.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
So John and Nicole, our friend Nicole, they're very worried that these photos are real. And they are actually they are alarmed. They're doing really the only thing you can do when all you know is someone's username on an internet platform.
And remember, like, Nicole is a criminal justice major. So she kind of has some idea of places she could go. And everybody knows you can do like a reverse Google image search. That's where she starts.
And so because she has some experience working with forensics. And so John is like, do you know anything about these wounds? Like kind of asking her and her expertise. So unfortunately, it is very, very easy to find horrible pictures like this online.
Do not Google gore. Just don't Google the word gore.
The production crew has these people Google it in real time to prove it. I got it. Thanks so much.
I know. It's really, really bad.
It's horrifying. I got up and like hugged Fiona in the middle of this.
I know.
I needed some self-care. This is horrifying.
Amount of stuff that is on the internet.
I can't talk about it.
You can literally see anything.
It's something that like kicks my intrusive thoughts wide open because then I'm thinking about, well, I just can't.
I know.
I can't do it.
We'll move on.
Yeah, thank you. to talk about the rest of this horrifying documentary. Nicole is doing a lot of research and she's trying to see if these images appear anywhere else on the internet, because that would mean that this troll found them on the dark web and now he's using them to troll.
Right.
So like, yes, they are horrifying, insanely disturbing photos.
But we hope they came from somewhere else.
And he really is like, this is his idea of a prank, which is still disgusting.
Disgusting.
But in the best case scenario is that he just got them from some horrible website.
Like, for example, 4chan board B.
4chan is an image board that allows for discussion. People will typically post an image to shock people. And that's what the random board is for. It's pretty unregulated. So people could just post a picture of a dead body just to see people's reactions to it. And that's why we thought that it was from maybe there.
You can post literally images of anything.
I can't.
I know. Sorry.
Why do you
what
is wrong with you that you like want to do that?
I know.
And it's don't give me the like morbid curiosity thing. Don't. Because I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Like I just don't. I think there's like something like off in you. Am I allowed to say that?
Of course. Of course. Of course.
Like
if you are searching out images of beheadings, look into that.
Like and thinking it's cool to be so unbothered by these photos that you're seeing in the Discord. Like something, I don't want
to
know you.
Nicole explains to us that in her line of work in criminal justice, she's had to see pictures of murders and plane crashes. There is a world in which these are in a proper setting, educational. I understand
fine.
If you're a medical examiner and you need to look and know what stab wounds look like or whatever, fine. I totally get that.
But reason 1 million, I'm not a medical examiner.
Right, totally. You'd be good at that though, I feel like.
Oh, I'd be awful at
you
it.
You think?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have the gene. I'm missing the strength.
Yeah.
Strength part of it. Like, I wouldn't be able to separate it. No. It's why I never was able to actually work with animals. Even though I grew up loving them, like, I couldn't ever do it.
No, I mean, the idea of, like, being alone in a room with a body,
they're
like,
definitely
going to
wake up any second.
Of course they are.
Even, like,
of course they
are. Watching something on TV, I'm like, they're going to open, they're going to, like, jump up at me.
No, of course.
Are you watching that show, The Pit?
Yes, I'm obsessed.
Mike is loving it. I am having trouble because I'm super squeamish.
Well, me too. I've been thinking about you. I didn't think you would like it because it feels procedural in a way that I didn't imagine you would like.
But it's a 24-hour or it's a 12-hour show.
It's really good.
I'm not watching it the way Mike is watching it. Yeah. Mike is like already watched all the episodes twice. Like, he's super, super into
it. It can be very gory.
There's one thing with a bug that he told me about. He's like, don't. But he did show me that one scene of that woman talking to the abuser.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, you gotta watch this. Yeah. You're gonna love her. Where was I going with
Sam,
that?
Sam, get in the Facebook group if you're watching The Pit. I want to hear your take on it. It's so good.
Mike is loving it. And he wasn't an ER guy. Yeah. He's like, I'm not a medical procedural kind of gal, but whatever. Point is, I can't even watch shows like that.
Yeah, yeah. I totally get it.
Because I'm either thinking everything is real.
Yeah.
Or the bodies are going to wake up.
What you're saying is the spinoff of Julian's Law is not going to be one about you as a medical examiner.
No.
Okay, great.
No. Although I love Emmy Warner on SVU.
Okay, great.
She's awesome.
I love that.
But she can do it. I'm not saying that.
But essentially, they find nothing. This picture was not taken from anywhere else, which means this picture has to be real. Now, either it's a hoax picture, but this picture comes from this Menhaz guy.
And either way, Nicole and John know that this is really dangerous,
yes,
no matter what, because they've seen all the horrible things he's been saying,
yes,
over this, like, 3-year span. So, but the thing is, they also don't know anything about this person.
Right.
So 5 hours after the photos were online, Austin calls the police, and he's in Texas.
The lady said, like, you know what time it is? And I guess she thought that I was just joking because I mentioned video game. Like, stop talking to me like that. I'm not joking. This is serious. And I'm like, you want to send someone to my house to check this in my computer? You can. And she's like, no, it's too late right now.
And she's like, everyone's really sleepy. I'm sure it's fine, nerd. Go to bed, nerd. And Austin is like, I'm trying.
I know.
To, like, I'm really scared.
Austin from Dallas is like, and we're also going to eventually get on the phone with the cops from the place where this is really happening. And they're
so
nice. Awesome. They're so good.
But the police hang up on Austin.
They really do.
So now the gamers contact this guy, Junior, a.k.a. Yeah. Goku.
Yep, whatever. He lives in Costa Rica. It's 9:30.
He's a massive troll, and he's this Menhaz guy's best friend.
But they're best friends. And, like, again, they're online trolls, but this, like, Junior guy in real life seems like a decent person.
But Nicole says this Junior guy, he permeates negativity. And
yeah,
I'm like, can we stop? Like, people are just trying to play the game. Like, why is being a dick such a big part of this culture? Are you really scared of girls?
I know.
Are you that scared of people having fun?
I don't think Junior's necessarily into girls.
But why are you a dick?
Right. Like, honestly,
you just want to fly around and, like, play the game. I don't understand why being a dick is such a big part of the culture. I'll never get it.
I mean, I guess the bullied people bully is what it comes down to.
Not,
you know what I mean?
Really?
Okay.
Not all people who are bullied end up being assholes.
That's true. Like, I was bullied. I'm a nice person.
See, like, give me a break.
Okay.
I mean, subscribe to that.
I agree.
I know, hurt people, whatever. Fine. But, like,
what else?
Not,
you got another cliche in there anyway?
We're not a monolith.
One more line from Grand Theft Auto 4.
I'll give you one from Surfing H3O, which is, I think,
great,
voted the worst video game ever.
Yes.
Checkpoint. I played a busty blonde surfer girl, and I was, like, 14 years old.
Maybe that one actress from that episode of To Catch a Predator.
Oh. You brought the condoms, right? I'm just gonna go take all my clothes off. You're like 40, right? Okay, cool, because I'm like 13. Okay, awesome.
Oh, it's just the greatest hits today.
Oh my God.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it, too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
So Junior, we learn, had leukemia.
It was in a bad situation of my life. My parents worked a lot, so I was really, really alone. He just listened. He never made fun of me. He really helped me a lot.
Menhaz was, like, really nice. Like, sometimes the trolls can be nice, I guess?
I guess. Okay. It must be exhausting. Honestly, like...
I know.
You're a loser. If you're a troll, you're a loser.
You absolutely are. But that's what brought them together. And this friendship will become kind of important. Because Junior, like all of these other people, even the other trolls, really try to do the right thing here.
Mostly Nicole.
And
John. But so Junior is like... Hey, everyone's asking about you. Those pictures are fake, right? Like,
yeah.
Can you just level with me? Even if you're trying to do the ultimate troll prank, like, they're fake, right? Like, you Photoshop them?
Menhaz comes right back and he's like, no, girl, I'm sorry to upset you, but I did it. I killed two of my four family members, murdered my granny and my mom, and I'm shaking, and I'm about to kill my dad and my sister.
He says, this may upset you. May?
I know.
May?
I know.
Like, what?
Maybe something got lost in translation there.
And because in those words, it's like everything he's saying is making people think like he didn't do that. Like it may
even
upset
me,
you. Like you know it's gonna upset me. Why are you saying it like that?
Even I'm still at the point where I'm like, is this real? Fam, I'm here to tell you it is real.
It's real.
And not only that, he's laying in wait in his home to kill his sister and his dad. His mom and his grandmother are already dead.
Yeah.
This is real. And like what's amazing about this documentary is that these online gamers are really trying to stop the next two murders before they happen.
And there's a countdown.
Yes.
There's a clock. They're racing against the clock.
Because we know like Menhaz knows when his sister and dad are getting home.
But Junior says to him, okay, enough, the joke is over. Stop calling it a joke.
I know. It's not a joke. Yeah.
So they have to act fast though.
Right.
Now everyone has what they feel is confirmation. This is real. He's doing this and now he's a danger and we have to maybe save two lives and just get this motherfucker.
Right. So they look into the name Menhaz. They find out that it's Bengali, but they don't think he lives in Bangladesh.
And they're like, is that his real name?
Right,
like,
truly.
Is it just a handle? Like they don't know nothing.
And they're looking like on all the social media platforms. They can't find anything that looks even remotely like it even could be this guy.
So they go back into the chat and they start looking at old messages and they're trying to see if he sprinkled in any information. So here's what we learned based on everyone kind of going back in the chat history.
Yeah.
He lives with his parents. He lived in their basement. He had a sister. He's studying engineering.
Right.
And based on, they were able to figure out.
We had reason to believe that he was in Eastern time zone. Whenever he would say that he was going to be back at a certain time, it was always in EST. But he could have been the East Coast of America or Eastern and Central Canada, even South America.
But that could be as far south as, you know, South America.
It's like Eastern U.S., Eastern Central Canada, and parts of South America and the Caribbean.
Right.
So they're like, okay.
Right. It doesn't really narrow it down.
Because
they've got an hour to figure this out.
Right. So he also mentions Canada.
Right.
So he says, oh, you know, you can't blame me. Winter's in Canada. No one wants to go out. Or meanwhile, there's just goose poop at the Canada beaches. So they're like, okay. Still narrowing it down.
But they realize now that through the Void server, they might be able to get his IP address.
Because some of the people who are helping us, like John, he's one of the programmers and moderators, so he can go into the back end and find that information.
Yeah, which is kind of like, oh my God, like that's, I mean, these nerds are amazing. They're amazing nerds. I married a nerd. I love the nerds.
Yeah.
The nerds will save us all.
Yeah,
but these nerds find it. They find his IP address in Toronto and they're like, well, that's great, but now it kind of narrows it down from 7 billion people to 6.3 million
people. It's still a needle in a haystack.
Right, because like the way IP addresses work in this case, it's not giving you like the address of the home where this computer is at.
It's just some IP address and we don't even know what it's for just yet.
Yeah.
So now Junior's job is to keep the killer talking.
Yes.
Don't let him know we're tracking his IP. Just get him to talk. Maybe he'll give a hint or a clue that we can use, but don't make him panic. Like, don't let him know we're onto him.
Just think about what's happening. These people are all over the world. The killer's in Toronto. You know, Nicola's in North Carolina. They're in Israel. They're in Egypt. They're everywhere. They're in Bucharest or whatever. Like, they're working together in a little group chat trying to, like, they're all in different times. This is incredible what is going on.
So now Junior's saying,
I was trying to get him to talk about anything. He tells me, go to bed, bro. I tell him, no, not leaving you alone. I was still worried about my friend. I told him, bro, I really want to help you.
let me help you. You don't have to do this. Like, really trying to sort of negotiate with him, talk him off the ledge.
Yeah.
And the killer is like, there's nothing left to do. My sister comes home in 5 minutes. But then he's now playing the game.
Right.
Like, they can see him active in the game.
Like, he left the gate. He had said, like, BRB, literally went and killed his mother and his grandmother.
Oh my God.
Then was, like, in the chat with Junior, then comes back into the game waiting for his sister and dad to come home.
And Austin's like, this is kind of great because now I can see his current IP address as he's playing.
Right.
And maybe this is a good thing. If it's different, maybe we can sort of narrow it down.
And they get an actual street address. It's Bloor Street in Toronto.
And now he posts the address in, like, the secret chat, like the go, 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 let's get him chat.
Yeah. Can I just say, there's something about Toronto. Toronto's where the killer from Don't F with Cats lived too.
Oh God.
What's going on in Toronto?
I like Toronto.
We had a great time in Toronto. Yeah. Toronto's a beautiful city. We're not holding this against you, Toronto, but you got a lot of serial killers.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Two at least.
I know.
Oh my God.
Creepy.
Well, says like the New Yorker.
I know. We're how many blocks from the Times Square Hotel with that guy? I mean, honest to God.
Honestly.
Toronto, we're not talking shit, girl.
No. I mean, we all live on Earth.
Right. And so. I would move to Toronto in 5 seconds if you'd have me.
I mean,
so, you know.
We're pretty full of bad guys on this planet.
Right. Totally.
That's why I'm starting my own with women. So,
bye. We know you're not sending for us.
Bye, everybody.
But we'll miss you.
Bye.
Will you miss us?
Not really.
Okay, bye.
It's going to be so great.
I know.
It's going to look like Mario Kart Island. It's just going to be so pretty.
Live like you want to be sent for.
Yeah.
Live like you want to be sent
Every day is
it.
Is this the day?
It's probably not the day yet, is it?
Maybe try better the next day.
Okay, all right. What are you trying?
They'll force you to, like, every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone will start to be better.
What if our planet ends up being better than yours?
Well, isn't that great? Now we have two great planets. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
So they find...
You know what? We don't even want to come back. We're good.
Okay.
Everyone's gay up here now.
So they get this address. They find his apartment building, but they don't know the apartment number. It's just like this giant residential building with a lot of tenants.
Which is crazy to see an image of it.
Yeah.
Because you're like, whoa. Like, I mean, like, they narrowed it down from the entire world to this building. It's, like, you did it.
It's just like a building.
Yeah.
So they call the number. No one answers. They call the landlord. No one answers.
Right.
Then we hear the voicemail, like...
Thank you for calling the Rogers Campus Store at Bloor Street East. We are located at the southeast corner.
And we were desperate to get somebody to stop him from killing his sister. But what we got was a message. We knew that the IP address that we had found was connected to his service provider and not to his physical address.
Fuck.
Right.
The IP address is connected to the service provider, not his physical address.
They literally got the number of the place that, like, AT&T that gave them the router.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is.
And they're like, shit.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels like another dead end, and now they have to start over.
Right. And they've got, like, 25 minutes to do it.
And his sister is coming home any minute, and then the killer goes back in the chat and says BRB and logs out, and that's how the first episode ends.
So part two, he's been offline for a little while. Everyone is panicking. He comes back online and he's talking to John again. And he says, my sister just came. Oh, this is awful. This is really, really bad. If, like, you want to jump ahead 10 seconds, I go right ahead and do it. He says, my sister just came home. Maybe 15 seconds.
Yeah.
It was a tough battle. She is a trooper.
I mean, just watching this and hearing this and talking about it is making me feel so sad and anxious.
I know.
And I can't even imagine what Nicole and these people were feeling.
In real time.
Knowing that, like, you're knowing it's happening and you're literally a world away and you can't, like, I feel like...
I know.
You
and
would
the
just
thing
be,
is... You know the police won't believe you.
Like
you know there's no one you can even call because the cops won't believe
and
you.
And you don't know who this guy is. Like, they ask you all these questions on the phone and, like, you can't answer it. Like,
yeah.
I would just feel like my mouth would be dry and I'd be shaking.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't imagine what that would be like to feel so helpless like that.
I don't mean this as a joke at all. I can't believe you haven't been in a situation like this. I don't know
what. What do you mean?
It just seems to me like a thing that you would be so good at solving. You know what I mean?
Finding someone like this?
In real time, like, preventing a murder from happening.
Oh, I can. God.
I've seen this witch recover files from a computer that are just gone.
Yeah.
That are just gone. She, like, sits down and does it and it's back in 5 seconds.
Because it's never gone if it's on the internet.
I know.
Or in a computer.
And I meant witch in the best way possible, by the way, of course.
I wear it like a badge.
But I'm just saying that, like, I can see you being good at that. Maybe this is the thing. We were talking in one of the after parties about how you can contribute. Like, maybe it's this.
Maybe.
I'm serious.
Maybe.
So John says...
People in the group chat... They were trying to collect information we could give to the police.
We were actively trying to get info from him.
So I asked Manhas to send pictures to get more information.
we need to know if this is real, but we also need to, like, John is like, send a picture of that, send a picture of the weapon, send him. He's trying to get as much information as he can, thinking that that might be able to help them find him.
And I think they're trying to play it cool. I think they're like, ha ha ha, that's so great. Yeah. We want to see.
Yeah, to get
this guy to give them information.
Yeah.
So they, and when they ask him to send the pics, he's like, promise you won't snitch. They're like, nope, send it over.
I know. The BTK
Holy
of
shit.
It all. I know. Remember when BTK sent the disc and he's like, you guys won't be able to open the disc if I send
but,
it, right?
But like, what do you do? And you're just like, okay, I don't want to look at this, but I know it's real, but I need it for the cops. Like, you're just in an impossible situation that all these people wanted to do was play their game and like find community and have a little bit of an escape. And now they're doing this.
I know. And you know what? You got to gird your loins and just do it. I'm sorry. I hate to be that
and
guy,
also,
but like
people are dying every minute.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? This is so tragic. So he keeps sending pictures. And even now, as Nicole is telling us about it, she's crying because she's like, there was so much to unpack.
Right.
And trying to focus on doing the right thing, but also like having what the right thing entails.
Yeah.
Is so horrifying.
And everyone is saying that like this girl, the sister fought for her life for 10 minutes and it was bloody and awful. And he's sending pictures of it. It's just terrible.
And everyone is disgusted and they're scared and they're freaking out. And they're like starting to put pieces together. Like he was waiting for his sister. He was waiting for her.
And now,
like,
he's waiting for his dad. The dad is the only one left. And he says the dad is going to be home in an hour and then it will be finished.
Like, this guy is killing his whole family and taunting these gamers.
Yeah.
It's out of a horror movie.
So Menhaz sends John a picture of a crowbar and a bloody knife. Ugh. Now, this bloody knife photo is so awful. If you are watching, if you do watch this documentary, skip this part.
It's really bad.
He holds the bloody knife up next to his face, and it looks like a movie prop. That's how bloody it looks.
It's horrifying. Yeah. It's really, really horrible. And there's no remorse, because then he sends a goddamn selfie.
Right.
And like, also, can you blur his fucking face out? I don't want to see this piece of shit. He's an evil murderer.
And he's telling John that Menhaz is going to send all of the pictures of the bodies and the knives and all of the damage he did to his entire friends list as soon as he kills his dad.
But there's no remorse. He's almost proud.
Yeah.
Like, there's just like dead eyes, like nothing.
Yeah. And John is just trying to keep him talking.
Because that's really, I guess, what they can do right now.
Keep him occupied.
As much information as possible and keep him occupied. Because his dad is going to be home in 30 minutes.
And the reason he's saying he has to kill his dad is...
He told me that he's just a person in a 1 billion to 1 circumstance. He told me that he needs to end his dad's life so he doesn't suffer knowing he raised a son who killed his entire family.
So he doesn't spend the rest of his life knowing he raised a son who killed his entire family.
So he wants to, like, protect his dad because he killed all the women.
Like, oh my God. Like, this is so off the rails.
And John says that he's actively trying to talk the killer out of this to, quote, appeal to the killer's morality. I'm like, I think it's clear he doesn't have any, but I understand, like, you do what you have to do. You try everything.
Right. I mean, like, you're learning in real time how, like you just said, how you would react in a situation like this.
And, like, what a hostage negotiator deals with or something. Like, just you're trying everything.
Right.
Everything. So John starts asking him about his mental health. And he's like, do you have any like issues? Like, do you have any mental disorders? Like, what's going on? And the killer's like, I don't think I have any. Like, I think I'm fine.
I'm good. I'm great.
And like, that combined with like, you see the selfie he took. And you're just like, oh my God, that house. It's like a house of horrors.
And now there's like 3 bodies in that house.
And now the killer gets wind that John has been sharing the photos with Nicole and like this kind of select group that's trying to stop the killer.
Right.
And he gets mad and stops responding to John. I'm like, who the fuck ratted on John? Because we were trying to make something happen here. Who's ratting on John?
I know. And the only good thing to come out of this is that he stops talking to John, but at 10:42 p.m. Texas time, Menhaz video calls Austin.
Yeah.
They've never spoken on the phone before. Like, he just video calls him.
That you can do through
from Discord. Right. And Austin is saying...
He called me. The first thing I saw his face was just... no emotions, straight face. His eyes were like, I don't know. It's like he didn't have anything inside him. He's talking like a robot. Like, hello, brother. This is the knife I used.
He's showing him the bodies. Like, it's very clear that this is all real and all happening in real time.
And it's like, so now it's been an hour.
Right.
And the gamers are like, oh my God, his dad is about to be home. Like, what do we do? Is this guy online? Like, and I'm just thinking, like, just call the cops again.
I know.
I know they hung up on him before, but just keep calling.
But you don't even know where. Like, we don't even know, where, you know?
Toronto,
and
I guess?
I guess. Menhaz tells John that he's got a plan for the dad. He says, I'm gonna wait by the door. I'm gonna hit him on the head with this crowbar till he passes out. Then I'll slit his his throat. And he says, I'm nervous. If he catches me first, I don't think I'll be able to kill him.
The thing is, I kind of, coming into this recording, I wanted to like actively skip this part.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm thinking about now, when you hear how this piece of shit acts and what he says and what his like excuses are,
yeah,
it's important to know how evil he is,
uh-huh,
and how he tries to talk himself out of it, and you know, and how he acts later.
And justify to himself.
So at first I was like, this is too salacious. I don't want to talk about it. Like, I don't want us to get into the gore of it for gore's sake,
yeah,
but it's not.
No.
Because of what the shit he pulls later.
Yeah. So 11:58 Texas time, Menhaz finally sends John a picture of his murdered father.
Oh
he
God.
Did it. They're too late. He's killed every member of his family.
And so John, in a panic, sends a group message to everyone on the server. So we're out of the private group chat with Nicole and
yeah,
the helpers.
Yeah.
Now we're to everybody. And he's like, if there's someone here in Canada, contact me right now. You need to get in touch with Canadian police. And I'm like, I'm sorry, anyone could have done that at any time.
I know we were busy. I know.
God knows what I would have been thinking. I understand that. I probably wouldn't even know my own name.
No, but the funny, like funny in air quotes.
Somebody remembered that there's a player named Dante who lives in Minnesota who might be able to help us. Dante, also known as Devante, he was friends with Menhaz. Since Minnesota was far closer to Toronto than any of us were, we got into contact with him.
Minnesota, that's close enough.
That's close enough.
Close enough to Canada.
And I'm like, not really. Google Maps says it's a 17-hour drive and North Carolina is 14 hours. We're scrambling here. And God knows I would be the same way. I'd be like, is there anyone in Tahiti? That's close to Canada, right?
But it's also like, what's the difference between a person living in Canada and a person just calling Canada? Call Canada.
I think this is really a study in what panic does and what like a weird group mentality of like, how to, like, can I teleport there?
I honestly
wouldn't be surprised if one of these like genius developers was like, I'm just going to write a program.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to write a program and get us to Canada right now. I'm going to make it so that Discord travels through time and space and we can get to Canada
now. But the thing that we just
have to... And I'm not saying that as a joke.
No, I know. It's just like everyone is a human being. It's like you call the Toronto police. Like how many precincts are there? Probably 8,000. And like no one's going to be, you know, like...
It's just, this we're panicking.
Unstoppable. And kind of the thing that really sucks is that Menhaz got what he wanted, which was an audience for the murders.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
That's it.
Like they were never going to be able to stop it. They probably got way closer than Menhaz even thought they would get.
And he knew that he was going to get caught because he was saying to John, like, don't rat on me. I don't want to get caught too early.
Right.
He knew he was going to be caught.
Yeah.
So Dante calls the St. Paul police.
We hear the call. The dispatcher basically is like, girl, I'm giving you the number for Canada.
And then we talk to Canada.
Okay. She's amazing.
She's so nice. But it's like the 911 call is so frustrating because Dante's like,
do you know whereabouts in the city he lives? Like Toronto's a really big place.
Yeah. All I have is a name.
Could you tell if it's his family? Like, do you know his family?
No, I don't know his family.
She's asking all the right questions.
And all of the answers are like, I don't know. I think it's this. All I know is from Discord. And the poor kid is just like, I'm just trying to help. But like, I know how frustrating this sounds. But this is all I know.
But can I tell you the thing that is so amazing? Like, tell me that you're not calling America for $1,000, Alec. At the end of
Alex.
The call. Is it Alex?
It's Alex.
Oh my God, is that Alec? Alec Trebek.
It's Alex Trebek.
Are we sure?
I'm positive.
Alex Trebek. No, you're right.
Yeah.
Steve was on Jeopardy and I didn't know that.
I know, but we can't talk about that.
We can't talk
We've
about
We've tried to talk about
I know,
it
I know,
and then
I know.
We dip like our toe in the water and then you're like, never mind, we can't talk about it.
But the sweet dispatcher says to Dante before getting off the phone.
And are you okay? Do you need someone to come check on you or?
No, I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm kind of just shocked.
So we're going to do our best to find this guy, but I'm just not sure how we're going to track this person down. We're going to do our best, though, okay?
Okay.
I don't know how we're going to do this, but we're going to try.
I know.
It's very sweet.
She was a Canada, we love you.
And because she's like, oh my God, this is horrifying. I totally understand. Like, she's just, like, she just believed this person.
I know.
Imagine that.
And maybe that's why the serial killers go to Toronto. They're like, they're too nice here to care. They're too nice here to do anything about this.
No, not on this
dispatcher's watch. Susan was like, we're sending you help, Dante.
I know. I know you say you don't want it, but we're going to send it
And
anyway.
I know it's 17 hours away and North Carolina is closer, but we're still sending it. God damn it.
I mean, what a fucking mess.
I know.
So, Dr. Michael Arntfield is here. He's a criminal profiler and former Toronto detective, and he's a current professor of criminology, so
yeah,
this guy knows his
stuff. He knows his stuff.
But the police immediately contact Discord, and they're asking for information about the killer's account, and Discord actually gets back to them.
But Discord sends them an automated email saying, we'll get back to you within a half hour, and that doesn't fucking happen.
It doesn't happen, but I'm also shocked, because usually online forums do not help you.
Yeah.
It is for those, like, unregulated online forums.
I know.
There's no way to get information about anyone, no matter how many times they threaten you.
Oh, right. Totally.
So hours are going by. The gamers don't know what's going on. The police obviously aren't keeping them up to date because they are at work.
Yes.
Discord hasn't responded to police, so thanks a fucking lot. But the next day, Discord finally responds, but they just end up sending the cops the same information that the gamers had.
Which I'm just like, we had this information 24 hours ago. Like, just use that information.
Right.
Because when they do call the place of that IP address, this time they answer the phone.
It's the service provider.
Right. And the service provider is able to give the actual IP address of Menhaz's computer.
Right.
So this is helpful, but like...
So of course the gamers couldn't get that, but the cops could.
Right. Which I just wanted to point out that the gamers they got around Discord's bullshit. Like
they did it themselves.
It was incredible.
Because they were the mods and they developed it themselves.
Exactly.
That's why. Then the cops are just dispatched and we're in a go, 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 go situation.
Yeah.
They go, and like, before we know it, we're at the killer's house.
Right. And like, it's wild because I just imagined this would be a suicide situation, like the cops are coming and he's going to die by suicide. No, he lets the cops in. He's super helpful. He's super nice.
He's peering out the window when they arrive.
Yep.
And he messages the gamers, the police are here, bye.
And I thought that meant suicide, but no.
I know.
It means bye, I have to go open the door for the cops.
Because he had nothing else in him. It just felt like it was like a full-on family annihilator situation.
Yes.
Where he was also killing himself.
Right, exactly. And so he opens the door for the cops. One of the cops goes into one of the upstairs bedrooms and finds the massacre of all of the family members. And like, they're all there. They take him into custody. And that's that. He doesn't fight it at all.
No, they use the word massacre. They say it's a grisly scene.
He was very nonchalant. He had no emotions, no remorse, nothing. Boy, not a typical murder suspect.
The officer asked Menhaz, who do you live here with? Menhaz indicated my family. The officer asked him, are they okay? Menhaz replied, you'll see.
You'll see.
I mean, evil.
Evil.
True evil.
Yeah.
Now, he's arrested. The gamers have the article. They're circulating it.
Yeah.
And now we see him in the back of the cop car.
I know.
He is complete, almost bothered.
Yeah.
But he's annoyed.
I mean,
he
doesn't have a speck of blood on him, which I find curious.
I mean, he probably changed his clothes.
Then showered or whatever.
The time they got there. Like, as he sat and waited for the police, because he didn't run.
Right.
He waited for the cops. He's refusing a lawyer. They ask him, again, tell me you're not in America.
Right.
Like, several times, are you sure you don't want a lawyer? And he's I'm cool. I don't want a lawyer.
Also, the sound of his voice, he just sounds like a little pipsqueak.
Yeah.
He's like, it's like the taking the mask off of, like, the Zodiac killer when we finally found it. You're not scared. Scary.
No.
You're just like a little twerp.
But you're like an evil fucking person who did this.
Yes.
And so the cops know, it's not a question, right? Like, we know he did it. There are so many photos, but the question is why?
Right.
Why did he do this?
And we see him in the interrogation and he's more than happy to admit that he did it. But when they ask him any questions about the circumstances, why did you do it? Was it premeditated? When did you start thinking about this? He refuses to answer.
He refuses to answer. And then he starts giving attitude.
Right.
Because they're asking him to identify the bodies in the photos. And he's like, I don't know. Why don't you do your job?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
And, you know, our expert is here to say to us that this is all part of the game to him, that this is all part of the narcissism that comes along with being a family annihilator.
Right.
That it's all about playing cat and mouse with the cops, being nice enough, but then not answering their questions. Just keep getting them to ask more questions.
Right. Like, he's
you're
bored.
In charge.
Yeah, he's bored, and then he's cocky, and he's almost having fun, and he's not asking for a lawyer, but then he's like, I'm going to remain silent about that.
And I will never understand. I mean, I know that it is an acquired skill, but how these people sit across the table from the family annihilator who killed their family for no... And you don't just strangle them. You don't just like... How do you not attack these people?
Yeah, and
how do you like sit across from Chris Watts, who just killed his children and his wife, and not beat the living shit out of him?
And like weirdly match this guy's energy.
Yeah.
That is very, again, like just no emotion, nothing. And the way they're speaking to him is almost like... chipper.
And I know the answer is just by being great at your job.
Right. I mean, you have to be that way.
You know,
you can't give them anything.
Right. But I this is yet again proving that this would not be a job that I would excel at.
No, you can't give them anything. It's all they want.
Yeah.
It's all they want. Even now, like the way he's sitting in the corner kind of with his arms folded, like laying back, he wants them to sort of be like, what you did was a horrible thing.
Right.
You can't say that to them.
Right.
Because it's still giving them the attention they want. So it turns out though, we're back with the gamers on the Discord.
He'd been dropping hints for a long time to multiple people, essentially. Like, he would sprinkle breadcrumbs.
In 2015, Minhas told Alex in a very weird message, bro, I tell you a secret.
I'm killing my entire family next April.
This guy was dropping clues for a long time.
Yeah, going back 3 years, he's saying things like, I'll miss you when I'm in jail for life, and things like killing mom, dad, granny, sister, and going to jail for life.
Next April, I'm going to kill my family.
Yeah.
And everyone thought that because he was such a troll, and he was so racist, and he was saying things for shock value all the time.
Yeah.
That they didn't really pay that much attention, and I'm like, we're doomed.
Well, but that's like, the thing. It's like that one that we covered about the kid that was like saying, I'm going to bring a gun to school. Here's a drawing of me bringing a gun to school.
Yeah.
And nobody taking it seriously.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I do think like gamer community, it's kind of on you. I mean, I guess the question is, what do you do? Because you don't know where he lives. You don't know his real name. Who do you report him to?
Right. And like all the work it took them when it got to the worst possible point ever. And he's acting out all these murders, really doing them. Like it was hard enough. You didn't have information. So if you go to cops and like, here's a screenshot of someone saying something weird in a chat room.
Right.
They're not like, gonna...
Because where are they? Who are they? Are they just messing with you?
And then it's like, when you go to the Discords of the world and all these people, they'll be like, well, what's the proof? Where's your subpoena? Why am I gonna violate this user's privacy without, I don't know, photos of the murder?
And what they would say is that, well, here's the 50,000 people who said this and didn't do it. Right. You know what I mean?
And trolls say vile, vile things, and all they're doing is sitting in their mom's basement with no intention of doing it. But there are people who then do it.
Right. And the other thing, too, because we learn more about him through this interrogation, is that, like, at least from his own telling, there weren't any outward signs in his life that he was going to do this.
No, but the cops do say that he'd recently become an atheist.
Yeah.
And his family is Muslim. And over time, he'd, like, abandon that religion and become an atheist. Now, I'm not saying atheists are murderers. I know plenty of atheists. Some of them are very, very dear friends of mine. Yeah. It's fine.
Right.
I love atheists.
Yeah.
They're just saying that, like, they're trying to find a big shift in his life. They're trying to find anything that maybe changed or would cause a lot of unrest in the family.
And it is there. And they do get him to say that it was like 3 years ago that he decided he didn't want to be religious anymore. He's lying to his family about going to school.
They're fighting all the time.
And at least in his telling, the killer is saying,
he told me that he told his parents that the graduation was July 28th and that he couldn't have stalled it any longer.
He said that I did this because I don't want my parents to feel the shame of having a son like me.
And I had to, like, kill them before they found out that I was a big failure. Like, that's what it feels like he's saying.
And so, like, just to slow down on it, the cops, like, he's not denying any of the murders and the horrific acts to the cops. But when they ask him why, he just keeps saying, I'd like to remain silent.
Yeah.
So now, though, for whatever reason, he's still allowed in the chat.
Right.
We don't get how this is happening.
Canadian jail, I don't really understand.
Like,
because he goes out of his way to be like, Canadian jail is not that bad. Don't worry about it. I'm like, well, I guess not if you still got your phone. If you could still be on Discord in Canadian jail.
But he tells the gamers. So he's saying to the cops, I'll remain silent. But in writing, he says, I've been planning this for 3 years.
Yeah.
I started skipping class my first year of college. I was a slacker. I wasn't doing well. I had to repeat all my classes. And so then by the second semester, he became really depressed. I became an atheist and ultimately created this plan. So he's been lying to his parents for 3 years, telling them, like, living with them.
Like, we were talking about this off mic. How do you live with yourself when you have a plan to kill your entire family 3 years from now?
I mean, I'll never...
You know?
You'll never know.
Right. And, like, were there no outward signs? Like, he never wrote it down anywhere else. He never talked about it with anybody. He's not trying to buy guns. Like,
no. You
know, he's only... But there it is. It's all there in black and white in this online forum. So is the answer, like, do we have to regulate Discord? Like, is it anybody who threatens to kill their family online gets reported somehow? Like, what do we do?
I don't know. Because then it's like, well, stay the fuck away from my Discord chat.
Right.
Like, then it becomes, like, this police state where you're like, well, get out of here, big brother.
Exactly.
I don't watch that show.
Exactly.
Did you ever watch Big Brother?
No, but I knew somebody who was on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But aren't there like 50 seasons of Big Brother?
There
it's
are
on
now.
Like constantly.
Yeah.
Is it a game?
Yeah. Well, the whole I think I would do really well on Big Brother because it's like you're in a house with a bunch of people and then they just slowly vote each other out. And so it's like you have to make
alliances,
friendships, alliances, annoyances.
what?
I think I'd do pretty
that's
good.
What, it's just like, I don't like you today.
That's my understanding is that like, and you just vote people out.
But then you have to, kind of like the traitors, then you have to get other people to vote with you.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think I'd do well?
On Big Brother?
Yeah.
Sure, I've never watched it.
Uh-huh. But just imagine that setup. Do you think I would make people like me?
Yeah. See, I don't know. I think it depends on what your strategy is. If your strategy is be liked, yes.
Yes.
But I think it would be harder to be... This is why I think I'd be terrible on The Traitors, whether a traitor or a faithful. Uh-huh. I'm not meant for that show. I want to hang out with Alan and his dog, Lala. Lala is like the star of that show. She's always in a little outfit.
And he's like even gayer and more Scottish on the show.
He has said many times he's playing a character.
Okay.
I love him on that show. Lala is the unsung hero.
Oh my God.
His little dog. But I would be terrible on The Traitors.
Yeah.
And so I think I would also be terrible on Big Brother because I think it would be hard to like convince everyone to vote someone off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, that's why I'd be good on Survivor because I'd be good in the challenges and I'd be good at building stuff. Not that I'm good at building things.
And
but
the challenges. I'm not good doing that bug challenge, Alan.
No.
Unless Boston Rob is talking me through it, holding my hand.
See, you're under Boston Rob's spell. I knew it.
And also, all I know about him is The Traitors and what TikTok has shown me about like him and Amber and like the old footage of Rob from Survivor. So I don't know the full lore.
Oh, God.
I just know him on The Traitors.
Our new reality show podcast coming soon.
Right after our White Lotus podcast.
Oh my God.
Hacks, which I started.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
We are in the golden age right now.
We are. And that's why I was like, I want to be in the conversation.
There's
I want to watch what people are watching.
There's a new show with Kate Hudson on Netflix.
What is that show?
I can't remember. It's about a basketball team, but I fucking love it.
I'm obsessed with her.
She is so good on it. And the gay guy from the other two is on it. Like, I'm obsessed. It's really good.
I love Kate Hudson.
Yeah. You will love it. It's really good.
On Netflix, you say?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I watched like 3 episodes a day.
Okay, great. We really needed this break from this horrible story. Thank you for going on this journey with us.
You're absolutely welcome.
Call in. Write in the Discord. Would you be good on The Traitors? Yes or no? Would you want to be a traitor or a faithful?
So anyway, whatever.
But like his whole thing, this killer, just goes on and on about like how he disappointed his family and then he committed this brutal massacre and also blames his parents because maybe if they didn't pressure me so much. And I'm like, I'm not buying any of this.
No.
No way.
I mean, it is the kind of thing where if he's got mental illness coupled with like overwhelming anxiety about all the lies he's been telling, this is why I want to know more about his past. I want to know, like, was he one of those kids that was like secretly torturing animals? You know,
right,
like.
Right, but like, it's like the choices were made.
Yeah.
You were taunting these gamers. You had planned it out. You'd been talking about this for 3 years.
Right.
You waited till your dad got home. Now you're going to be like, they pressured me.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Well, and especially because other people are saying that that's not true.
If you ever see any pictures of all of them, any group photos, you see all of them in traditional dress, except for him. Well, usually a lot of times people get kicked out of their house or disowned by their family, but his family seemed kind of okay with it.
We see pictures of the family, like, all being religious together, and he's in his street clothes, but they're all smiling.
And his uncle is here.
Yes.
And his uncle, the victims were his uncle's mom, sister, brother-in-law, and niece. So this guy is very, very, very close, obviously.
He's sobbing. He says, I'm not angry, I'm just very sad.
He just can't make sense of it, because he says he used to be such a good kid.
Yeah.
He used to be nice. He took care of people. Like, what happened?
And
like,
that's
who
my
is
question.
This person?
What happened? I wish we knew more about what happened.
And like, then it cuts back to him saying to the cops, like, oh, my jail cell's like super uncomfortable. Can I get like a blanket or something? And
he's
the cop's like, no.
Mad that he can't get a blanket or a pillow in his jail cell.
As he's like swaying in his seat, like being totally pompous with no remorse. So I'm like, I don't care if you snapped or not, you're evil and made these horrible choices and then you were taunting people the whole time and you have no remorse now. Because what I'm not hearing is like, oh my God, I was trapped and I did this. Or like, oh my God, I can't believe now. And now at least I won't be judged by my family.
Uh-huh.
Like none of that
right.
is coming out at all
right.
now. That was just a bullshit line for the gamers. Like you're full of shit.
Totally full
and
of shit.
And I don't believe a word you're saying.
No, and like in the end, he gets 40 years with the possibility of parole. I don't understand
after,
this.
Yeah, so he gets 40 years to life with parole after 40 years. Because all the lawyers and cops are like, this was a gift-wrapped case.
Yeah.
Like this was one and done.
Totally. But like, he killed 4 people in cold blood. 3 of them, they get him on premeditation. And he's getting out in 40 years. He's going to be like 62.
And the gamers are like, no, that doesn't sound right.
No.
And we kind of get like, you know, Nicole and John and these people saying like,
a lot of people quit playing the game after this incident. It messed with a lot of people. On the Void server, you couldn't talk about it at all. They shut down all discussion about it. You couldn't say Menhaz for a while.
just because trolls suck also like ruined a space for Nicole.
Yeah.
And people who just wanted to find community. And he like took it over and turned it into part of his like horrible murderous plan.
Right.
And now Nicole's like, people left the community. People stopped playing. Like, I've been in therapy this whole time. Like, yeah. It ruins so many lives. And yeah. This guy's just like sitting, like complaining that his jail cell isn't comfy enough.
No. And like, Nicole is talking about how like it really hit her in the middle of the night one night that like all of the life that was robbed from these people for no reason.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. For no reason. Like, you're just like, I don't buy your excuses, bro.
Right.
Like, you're an evil murderer, and I hate you.
Okay,
like,
bye.
I just hate you. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to put too much negativity on the world, but fuck this guy.
But fuck this guy. Oh, my God, girl. What's it called?
This is called Perfect World Deadly Game. It's 2 episodes on Peacock. And yeah. Peacock, do better with those fucking photos.
I agree. Or else. Don't forget, fam, we have full video episodes now up on YouTube. Like, at least the last 5 or 6 episodes and everyone going forward.
Oh, my God.
And then our entire back catalog is audio video episodes. So check it out. We're really excited to, like, get to have you see more of us. And we're redoing the studio. And we're taking it really seriously. It's going to be so fun.
It's going to be fun. It's kind of like a whole new, little new avenue.
Yeah, we're 9 years into the same time for a little bit of a revamp.
Yeah, we're shaking it up a little bit.
Shaking up. So what are we doing next, girl?
So we are doing The Jewel Thief on Hulu.
Yes.
Just a derpy derp herb.
Just another Manic Monday.
Just another Manic Monday.
Do you know
Monday.
That song was written by Prince?
Yes, I did.
You did? Of course you did.
My brain is very weird. She has very weird places that it's weirdly organized up there for little facts like that.
Wow. All right. Well, stay tuned for the trailer for that, and we love you.
We love you so much, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Stay safe out there.
We formed a task force.
I knew the police were investigating me, so I would always antagonize them.
He sent me pictures just to kind of poke me.
He was living the life. He had money, keeping company with beautiful women, the rich and famous.
I could not fathom my son was living a double life.
They're trying to chase me all over the globe. Cairo, Canada,
London,
Paris,
Vancouver,
and Austria. And that's when I saw the Sissy Star.
He was committing crimes that were fairy tale like.
It was shocking because we couldn't explain how.
He was brilliant.
I could have stopped, but you always need that thrill.
He's got himself into something he didn't know how to get out of it.
I knew I was smarter than him.
The SWAT team showed up. I was terrified.
It became imminent that we had to take him down.
This is the stuff that movies are made of.
Catch me if you can.